Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are unpacking Chapter 29 of Dungeons & Drams, titled Gone Fishin'. And folks, looking at this recap, I don't think anyone actually did any successful fishing.
Not a single fish was caught, unless you count Gobbage catching a literal boat anchor with his teeth, but we'll get to that later. This episode was dense. We had magical espionage, we had the creation of artificial life, and we had some serious skeletal spookiness.
It really starts right out of the gate with Delnus. He's leaving the Savants at the White Lady Inn, and suddenly his hat starts ringing. Well, Dazan's hat.
Right, the classic wizard hat as a cell phone trope. It's Dazan's servant, Jeff. And this conversation completely reframes what we thought we knew about Dazan. For a while, the party thought Dazan just walked into a trap, but it turns out Dazan was playing 4D chess.
Exactly. Dazan knew he was being tailed. The twist that he intentionally leaked a fake location at the Wet Trout to throw off the Doom Raiders, that is brilliant spycraft. He played the adventurers like pawns.
But then he got checkmated by something else. The fact that Jeff heard Dazan muttering, "I did it, I killed them," over and over, that is chilling. It implies some sort of possession or a mental break that happened instantly.
And it raises the stakes for the party. Now they know the Doom Raiders Schemo's crew working for Manshoon are in town. And naturally, the party's solution is to send a kobold in a trench coat to spy on them.
God, I love the kobolds in trench coats. It's the perfect comedic counterbalance to the creeping horror of Icewind Dale. But speaking of horror, can we talk about the economic anxiety in this chapter? They regroup at Scython the Ferryman's house, and it is bleak.
It really is. The D&D world often glosses over logistics, but here we see Scython passing out stink wine and offering knucklehead trout jerky because that is literally all they have. The town is starving.
And Scython's speech about the God's cursed winter hits home. The ferry is locked in ice. Nothing moves. It grounds the fantasy adventure in a very gritty reality. And weirdly, amidst all this suffering, we get that bizarre anecdote about the vagrant.
Of the hepatitis vagrant? That was so strangely specific. A body found with neck wounds, but the cleric insists it was natural causes because the guy had, and I quote, several variants of hepatitis?
It feels like the DM is planting a seed there. Neck wounds screams vampire spawn, but the town is writing it off. Classic small town denial. But the gloom doesn't last long because Tookie decides it's time to play Frankenstein.
This was my favorite part of the chapter. Tookie building the mechanical water bear, the tardigrade, but specifically what he used to power it.
The shard, that black metallic glass from the Knoll's pouch. We suspect that's shardolin, right? That stuff is usually bad news, corrupted magic. And Tookie just pops it into a machine like a battery.
And immediately, the machine gains sentience. Tardy awakens and asks, "Does he need a hug?" Referencing the drunk ferryman. It's adorable, but terrifying. That shard shouldn't create life. It implies that the material itself has a soul or connection to something living.
A sassy sentient machine fueled by questionable dark magic. What could possibly go wrong? But at least they have a new mascot, which they immediately put to work scouting a frozen waterfall.
We have to mention the transit scene first. They can't use the ferry, so Gobbage, true to form, shapeshifts into a polar bear and tows a skiff across the icy lake. That is a metal album cover waiting to happen.
Functional druid wild shapes are the best. They get to the location, the empty boat named Bunch of Knuckleheads, great name, and notice the smell. Spicy.
Spicy is the worst smell in a dungeon. Rotting flesh? I get that. Mildew? Sure. Spicy means someone is cooking, and usually they are cooking people.
Especially since they're looking for missing fishermen. The cave description was excellent, too. The moaning wind, the frozen waterfall with the backpack stuck inside the ice. It's very atmospheric. And Doug, bless his heart, starts poking around the ancient history.
The cave paintings depicting giants and horned helms? This is foreshadowing ancient Ostorian giant lore, perhaps. They find the hot springs writing in Dwarvish, which suggests this place wasn't always a frozen tomb.
But now it's definitely a tomb. They reach the bone cavern, knucklehead spines, human bones, and in the center,
a giant skeleton sitting in the ice wearing the horned helm.
This is Adventure 101. Do not touch the creepy giant skeleton. But Doug sees a cool hat. Maybe he has hat envy after the Dazon situation and climbs up.
And falls directly onto the skeleton's knee. The breaking ice was such a cinematic trigger.
The cliffhanger is perfect. Doug lying on the ice, looking up, and the blue eyes ignite. That's not just a skeleton, that's a frost giant revenant or undead of some high caliber.
It really ties the themes together. Dazon's hubris got him caught, now Doug's curiosity might get him crushed. They need the book, but they might just end up adding their own bones to the pile.
Next week is going to be an immediate roll for initiative. I can't wait to see if Tardy tries to hug a frost giant. Thanks for listening to the recap.